filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, America, what in the world? They've come to the wake up this week and it's a whole different country. How did that happen? I believe we've been fundamentally transformed. Huh. And he thought he owned fundamental transformation. Yes, we have an awful lot to talk with you about the recent elections. A lot to talk with you about. In fact, we're going to discuss the elections with you in ways the mainstream media won't. Not because they won't, but because they can't. They don't know how. We do. We'll tell you what it means for you as gun owners and freedom lovers, as pro-rights Americans, what the fundamental transformation after the elections this past week tell us, and what it means to all of us here on Armed American Radio and you, and what it means for you. But we're going to do that later in the program. A little bit of a tease there. Because we have a political analysis coming up later in the show with the A-team. We have the A-team of political analysts. Then we're going to do something a little different. We're going to bring you an analysis of the analysis. Sean down in Dallas, how you doing? Does that make sense to you, my friend? What do you think about that? You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you do. We talked about it off air. The best radio is sometimes the radio that listeners never hear. But I'm looking forward to that. Before we go into that, and you will get some fantastic take on what occurred. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, this hour is huge. The scheduling this hour worked out very well. You know, I wanted to talk with Alan Gottlieb this hour about what happened up in Washington State with Initiative 594. Alan is taking a well-needed and well-deserved vacation out in Honolulu.
Yes, he is.
And will be joining us a little bit later due to the time change out there, about 4 or 5 hours from Eastern time and Hawaii time. But normally, we reserve that first hour slot for him, but we'll be talking with him later in the program. So what we're going to do is I'm going to bring in someone, my good friend, great friend, Rob Pincus, who... This is always a provocative topic, and that's how to handle law enforcement if you're armed. We get email on this all the time. You guys need to talk more about this. What do I do if I'm armed and I'm carrying my firearm, or I'm new to concealed carry, or I'm new to open carry? Open carry is lawful in my state. And I'm confronted by law enforcement. There's a number of different scenarios under which that can occur. And it always seems to be a huge and very popular topic on the program. Rob happens to have a new DVD out discussing that very topic. So let's go to Rob right now. Rob Pincus, welcome to the show from down in Florida. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm glad to be on the show as usual. And we're down here finally on East Coast time. We're in the same time zone for a change.
Yeah, you know, tell us about the move. You have finally settled down a tad bit, have you not? A little bit anyway?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I'm splitting my time now between Colorado and Florida, which are two of my favorite states. And the business has been based in Florida for a number of years. And I've wanted to relocate down here for quite a while, as you know, and I do. I'm now a resident of Florida, and I'm going to be teaching at St. Augustine, the ancient city reigns in St. Augustine, once a month now, committing as of December. I'll be down there. We'll be running a lot of specialty classes. You know, ancient city is a great facility, and we've had a relationship with them for a number of years, and with ICE Training Company headquartered just north of St. Augustine in Jacksonville. It's the perfect location, and I'm glad to be back down here. This week I'm down here. I spoke this morning at the International Association of Fire Chiefs symposium. They have a symposium for training every year in on the west coast of Florida in Clearwater, and we were talking about whether or not firefighters and just first responders in general, whether it's EMTs or anybody else, should be armed, should be allowed to be armed, and should be preparing for their own personal defense in their work environment. And now tomorrow I'm going to be teaching at SWAT Roundup International, as I do every year here in Orlando. And it's good to be here in Florida, and it's always great to be on Armed American Radio.
Yeah, welcome home. We have a lot to talk with you about today. Quick question for you, personal question. Now that you seem to have settled down, and some of the social media talk on some of your sites is, hey, he now has an iPhone 6, which he does. You now have an iPhone 6 in addition to your BlackBerry.
There's
Does that mean a lot of changes occurring? Does that mean that when the training tour starts in the spring of 2015, that you're going to slow down somewhat because you had a real whirlwind this year?
This year was the busiest year, yeah, by far. It's the busiest year since 2008. It's been ramping up, of course. You know, it's been over 300 days a year of travel, and as of next year, I am cutting my travel schedule down by about 30%. So basically, what's happening is, outside of Ancient City Shooting Range in St. Augustine and a couple of other ranges that I train at every year that are off the tour schedule, I'm only going to be doing end-user courses during the tour. So the Personal Defense Network training tour that happens between March and July every year for the last several years, which really is that inherited the cross-country trip that I did for ICE training as the combat focus shooting tour every year. Outside of March to July, I'm not going to be doing very many end-user courses. So, you know, the combat focus shooting, the advanced pistol handling, combat focus carbine, those are going to happen during that 5 to 6 month period. And after that, it's going to be instructor development and specialty courses only. So, you know, we've got such a great team teaching the combat focus shooting courses. Anybody can go to combatfocusshooting.com and look at the list of instructors, look at the calendar with the guys that are just busy. I mean, this weekend alone, we're in Texas, Arizona. I'm teaching in Florida with a team at SWAT Roundup, Colorado, Virginia. Arizona. So we're all over the country this weekend, and yet I'm only in one state. And that's really what's happened with the program. It's grown to be so popular, and we've got so many instructors that are qualified to teach it that I'm scaling my my training schedule back. So more time for Personal Defense Network, more time for books, more time for DVDs, more time for the big picture stuff, the community stuff, the activism stuff, the politics stuff, and less time standing on the range.
All right, let's talk books for just a second, because I was with my son in Walmart not too long ago picking up some ammunition. And up on the rack in the sporting goods section of the brand new Walmart, and it is a brand new Walmart, I don't think it's been open 5 months, right down the road from my house, is the rack of self-defense books. And, whoa, there, lo and behold, my son says, "Daddy, there's Mr. Rob." Now, of course, you've known my son now for a couple of years. He's 10 years old. He says, "Look, there's Mr. Rob." And I looked over, and sure enough, there's your book, Defend Yourself. Now, this book is in every Walmart in the country. Congratulations on that. That's a huge coup. But tell us about the book. It means a lot, and it's so important that people read this stuff.
It's a book about defending yourself or your family inside of the home, and it's really a book, unlike a lot of my previous books. You know, the book that you and I did actually started this trend, I think. The book that you and I did, Lessons from Unarmed America, was a book aimed at middle ground America, the people that are on the fence, right? And Defend Yourself follows on that tradition. It's not a diehard, you know, Second Amendment, personal defense, gun owner kind of book like my previous books have been. Defend Yourself is really aimed at the person that is in the Walmart. It's the person that says, you know what, I'm kind of new to guns. I'm kind of not sure what to do about this. Maybe even I'm new to personal defense. I haven't even committed to the personal defense handgun yet. So I'm going to buy Defend Yourself and learn about home defense. And it's everything from doors and locks and storage and improvised tools and a family plan and what to do when the police show up and how to even deal with the police or the emergency services operator when you call 911. That's what Defend Yourself is about. It's a holistic book, and I'm very proud to have it in 2,100 Walmart stores across the country, sitting right next to Grant Cunningham's book on defensive firearms use, and a lot of other great authors as well. It's cool to be in that section and have that market penetration reaching the American middle ground a lot further than I do with a book that maybe somebody sees it at the ICE training company online store, or even that we talk about on Armed American Radio. You need to think about all the people that walk through a Walmart that aren't gun people yet. That's who we're trying to reach with the new book.
Well, no doubt that works. And if I do my math right, let's see, that's 2,100 Walmarts, right?
Yep.
If they just bought one book, that's 2,100 books. So that's a huge for you. And we really do. It's great to see that in Walmart. And it's great to see my son say, "Look, there it is. There's Rob's new book." Now, that's part of the Gun Digest books, too, right?
It is. Yep. Gun Digest has been a great partner on the publication of that book, and we're just really excited to be putting that out there to a bit larger audience.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to take a break here, but when we come back, what I want to do is focus on the new DVDs that you have, Rob, because these are huge. This is one of the biggest questions, the most frequent questions I get. Mark, what do I do if I'm carrying my firearm and I'm stopped by law enforcement, or if I'm walking through Home Depot and I'm lawfully open carrying my firearm, and someone approaches me, a law enforcement officer approaches me. Maybe they got a phone call from a paranoid citizen who saw my gun. Or what do I do if I'm lawfully carrying the gun concealed, and I think if I reach over to maybe the glove box or the console, my concealed firearm might become exposed. That's happened to me. And I'll tell you how I handled that, and we'll get your opinion, Rob, as the expert with the new DVDs from the Personal Defense Network, from Rob Pincus, on what to do if you have an encounter with law enforcement and you're armed when we come back here on the Armed American Radio Network. Don't go away.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit concealedcarryexpo.com.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Oh, welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. This is a popular segment and one that has gotten us in a little bit of trouble over the past few years, particularly from those avowed open carriers. I open carry. I was open carrying today. Was in a number of places openly carrying my firearm. I have no problem doing it. Let me just go back to Rob Pincus. Let's bring Rob in to discuss this. Rob, this is such a great topic, not just open carry, but concealed carry, law enforcement encounters, okay? And I know we should never carry a firearm to make a political statement. You would agree with that, right?
Right, absolutely. Firmly believe that.
But you believe in open carry? That Saad Ayoub, I think, said it best in this program anyway when he said, "Well, I believe that open carry should be the law of the land, and I believe it should be legal everywhere." Now, having said that, I don't believe it's always the best tactical decision.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that statement. And the people that are choosing to carry openly just to make a statement, to cause confrontation, to agitate, they're the people that are causing problems for all of us who are trying to defend Second Amendment rights. That's very different from somebody that has a compelling reason to choose that method of carry for some other reason.
All right. Well, now that we've got that out, let's go to your DVDs, the title of the DVDs first.
Yeah, we released 14 DVDs in August. It was basically we've been taping DVDs, obviously, since 2005. We've got 80 DVDs in the library, and we held a bunch of them back just because the tour this year was so busy. We were training, as we talked about earlier, my travel schedule and the training schedule was so busy this year that we released 14 new DVDs in August at the ICE Training Company online store, and one of them was dealing with law enforcement while armed. And the issues of the immediate aftermath of using a firearm for self-defense, the issues of, as we cover in the Defend Yourself book and in our own Armed Home Defense book or DVD, we talk about what do you do if you call the police and you have to shoot or you don't have to shoot and the police come to your house and you have a gun. This issue of dealing with law enforcement while armed in the public environment was more about what happens if the wind blows the wrong way while you're mm-hmm. at the park with your kids and your firearm gets exposed and somebody doesn't understand what's going on and calls the police and says there's a guy with a gun hiding it under his shirt. What happens if you go into a store and you bend over to pick something up off the bottom shelf and the gun that you're carrying becomes exposed? If somebody bumps into you, if somebody sees it, or maybe you get pulled over for a traffic violation and you have a firearm inside of your vehicle, as you alluded to before the last break, and you're worried about the police officer, you know, seeing the firearm or noticing the firearm, and you want to make sure that you don't cause a situation to become escalated. How do you deal with law enforcement while carrying a gun?
All right, a real-life example, and I want you to go ahead and give me your assessment of this. This was a Florida altercation. I was speeding. I got pulled over by a Florida state trooper. Now, in the state of Florida, I am not required by state law to advise the officer that I am, in fact, carrying a concealed firearm. It's not part of Florida law that I have to say, here's my driver's license and here's my concealed carry permit. In this particular case, I did that. It was a young cop a few years ago. And I handed him my driver's license and I handed him my concealed carry permit. People are asking right now, you might be thinking, why did you do that if it's not required by law? The reason is because I had my paperwork clear on the other side of a fairly large cockpit in the car. I had to get over, I had to lean over to the glove box, Rob. And by so doing, my firearm may very well have become exposed the way I was sitting. Smart move on my part to initiate that right out of the box to tell him I was armed, yes or no?
Absolutely. I think all the time, anytime, you know, if you can give the police officer trying to do a job, right, and they're trying to protect themselves and everybody else in the environment while they're doing their job, if you can let them know something that potentially you're aware that it could escalate the situation, if you could let them know ahead of time, because you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to hide from this police officer. You're not violating the law. You have no reason to hide the fact that there's a firearm in the car. You should be proud of the fact that, hey, I've got a firearm in the car. I'm exercising my Second Amendment rights. I'm meeting my responsibility for personal defense. I have a gun in the car. I don't want you to be alarmed by this. FYI. That's how we should all be dealing with the police officers that we come into contact with for whatever reason.
All right, I'm walking through. I'll just pick on Home Depot. I was in Home Depot today. I'm walking through a Home Depot. I reach up on a top shelf to grab a can of paint, and my firearm becomes exposed by so doing when my shirt lifts up. I continue shopping throughout the store when I notice coming down the aisle towards me come two officers who approach me and say, "We'd like to talk with you. Need to see your identification, please. Ask why." "Because someone made a phone call that they saw a gun on you when you were reaching up top." How would you handle something like that?
Same, right? So you keep, obviously at that point, the police officers are concerned that you might, you know, have some issue. Obviously, you're not supposed to be exposing the firearm in that kind of environment. Somebody got nervous about it. They called the police officers again, doing their job, protecting you, protecting the populace, protecting the rest of everybody else in the Home Depot. You just said, "Cool, no problem. You know, yes, I am carrying a gun. I'm carrying it legally." Obviously, you explain that. You've got the concealed carry permit, or maybe you're in a state where you're allowed to carry without one. You're carrying the gun legally. Then at that point, it becomes about compliance. It becomes about de-escalation. You know, everybody in the personal defense world will talk about avoidance, de-escalation, whether that's verbal or body language, not creating a situation that you have to use violence, that you have to use force to defend yourself, but trying to avoid that situation. So why, when the police officers are engaging us, would anybody say anything except the same concept, the same principle, de-escalate, avoid?
Right. What do you say? What do you say to the person who is no doubt listening right now that is saying it's his problem and it's not my problem? It is not a violation if my firearm becomes exposed where I happen to live in the state that I live. I don't live in Nazi Germany, and I don't have to show you my papers. What do you say to the guy that's or gal that's thinking that right now?
I say, okay, take your politics and your vehement belief in resisting the oppressive potential state out of the picture. If you pull into a parking space in the parking lot in front of the Home Depot and some guy comes over and says, "Hey, you just took my parking spot," and starts arguing with you, what is your job as a responsible citizen? Your job is to de-escalate. Your job is to avoid confrontation. Your job is to be as safe as possible for you and everybody else in the environment. Why would you not take the same stance when there's a police officer? Why, when it's a police officer, are you going to suddenly switch and decide that your job is to agitate? Your job is to make it worse. Your job is to resist. Your job is to escalate the situation and make it harder than it needs to be. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's completely incongruent. I think it's a lot of, it used to be gun shop bravado. Now it's internet bravado. Mm-hmm. The fact is, when you're standing there in front of the police officer who's just trying to do his job, and if you haven't done anything wrong and have nothing to hide, you cooperate. You say, "Hey, you know what? No harm, no foul. I'm legally carrying a gun." Be proud of it. Educate. Take the opportunity to educate that police officer, the store manager, anybody else in the environment to say, "Hey, it's cool. I'm carrying a gun, and I mean no harm to anybody. I'm not an agitator. I'm not here to cause a problem. I'm here to make things better, and I'm prepared to keep things as good as possible in the worst-case scenario." This isn't a worst-case scenario.
All right, I need you to hold that thought right there. We're getting ready to take a break. Rob, stick with me. You're going to stay with me for the next 15 minutes. We'll be talking with Frank Harris from Car Arms will be joining us as well. Always fun. Armed American Radio continues right after this. That was great advice. I hope you were paying attention.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com. NRAHQ.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, I love this part of my week. This is the culmination of everything, and on the heels of that resounding victory last week. Or was it? That conversation will be held over about a two-hour period here, and you do not want to miss the analysis that you're going to get from the A-team here on Armed American Radio. We continue the conversation with famed trainer, firearm expert, self-defense expert, author, television star, just all-around guru, Rob Pincus. Welcome back to the show, Rob. How was my description? Was it right?
We'll accept most of that.
What did I miss?
I don't know that TV star. I don't know that I really qualified, but I'll take most of that.
Well, I've been watching you on TV for a long time, so you know, go ahead and take that. Listen, let's wrap up that previous conversation about arm. But here's one thing that I want to say, and if I'm wrong, I'll catch some flack for it, but that's okay. I have broad shoulders, and I can take it. I think it's the responsible thing to say when we are talking about confrontation or encounter, not necessarily confrontation, with law enforcement while we are lawfully armed. You know, you can handle the encounter any way you choose to handle the encounter. If you want to be Mr. Billy Bad Guy and preach your constitutional rights, you have every right to do that. And you're not wrong by doing that. There are several attorneys who will tell you to go ahead and do that. Here's my advice to you, Rob, and I want you to stop me if I'm wrong. Law enforcement will always win that encounter, even if they're dead wrong. Even if you wind up ultimately winning a $500,000 lawsuit, you will lose that initial encounter, won't you, Rob?
Yeah, in the moment, that's not your time to take a stand politically. It's not your time to try to educate. If you think that your local law enforcement aren't educated on gun laws and gun rights, go there tomorrow. Go there on Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning, knock on the door of the police department and say, hey, I'm here. I want to talk to a supervisor. I want to make sure that if I am in the Home Depot next week and my gun becomes exposed, that the local patrol officers know how to handle it. Go do that tomorrow. Don't try to handle it in the heat of the moment. It's not the time or place.
Not to mention, if you have your children with you, you don't want them to see you face down on a Home Depot slab floor.
Because that's the best that can happen if you get into a confrontation with a law enforcement officer who thinks you are doing something illegal.
Yeah, I'd like to point out also that we're talking, it varies. Different areas of the country where I happen to live, I'm very fortunate. That would be a very rare occurrence to have an encounter like that. Law enforcement in the state that I live happen to be very educated. That may not be the case in New York State. Maybe you have a permit in New York State. Maybe you're doing nothing wrong. I can guarantee you that the culture will be a little bit different. Won't it, Rob? Won't it be a little different in Massachusetts or Connecticut or New York for someone with a permit than it would be, say, in Arizona or maybe Utah or Florida, for example?
We could generalize that way, but there's jurisdictions in upstate New York that this local county guys, they're pro-gun as much as any rural officer is in Georgia, and there may mm-hmm. be some guy in some part of Georgia that's not as pro-gun as there is some guy in Arizona or New Hampshire. So, you never know, and you don't know who's coming up to your car. If you were going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, as I don't know anybody who doesn't go at least 5 miles an hour over the speed limit on the interstate, and you get pulled over anyway because technically you were breaking the law, when that guy walks up to your car, cooperate. Cooperate with him in the moment. If you get wronged, if something is inappropriate, deal with it tomorrow. Call the supervisor, deal with it then.
If he's putting the chin strap on the hat and straightening up the hat when he's walking over, be nice. You understand what I'm saying?
Nice, be cooperative.
Be cooperate with that man or woman. There's no question about it.
It's not an issue to deal with in the heat of the moment where things can escalate and go out of control. And again, I see it as a fundamental personal defense issue. You would never escalate with some guy who wasn't wearing a uniform in the parking lot unless you were bloodthirsty and a killer and exactly the kind of person we don't want having a firearm. So
you're going to wind up the one on the news that night.
Yeah, why? You don't want to escalate with the guy with the badge and the flashy red and blue lights. Don't escalate with him either.
All right, let's talk a little bit briefly while we have time with you here before Frank calls in. We have not yet heard from Frank, so we'll continue this discussion with you. It's a good one. First responders. Now, putting aside the fact that we are, in fact, first responders, let's use the term as it's widely understood, first responders being EMT personnel. Rob, these guys and gals, many of whom I know and I talk to and have spoken to frequently, happen to arrive at the scene sometimes before law enforcement does, depending on where they're located. All right, and sometimes these are not nice scenes that they walk up on. Sometimes life and death, most of the time, a lot of times life and death, may be in a bad area, and they get there before law enforcement. Sometimes they don't wait for law enforcement to arrive because of the nature of the scene. Don't they have a right to be armed, Rob?
Yeah, sure. As we talked about at the beginning of this hour, I was invited to speak at the International Association of Fire Chiefs training symposium they had this week in Florida. And honestly, this request came in 6-7 months ago, and I thought, well, maybe this is a mistake. But I'm going to say, yeah, sure, you want me to speak, I'll speak. And as time went on, I realized they've actually built this entire 4-day seminar. One of the continuing themes, they had four presentations on the idea of personal defense on the job and personal defense on the scene. While you're showing up to fight a fire, that's your job, but what if somebody becomes combative? What if it's an incendiary device that was in an active killing situation at a school? Mm-hmm. What if it's a situation where someone set a fire just to ambush you as the first responder, as the guy showing up to put out the fire? How do you deal with that by policy? How do you deal with it by training? How do you deal with the entire ethos? Do we train for this? Is this something we should be thinking about in the firefighting community? And I applaud these guys. There were 600 people in the room today, and they were from 46 states, all over the U.S. Obviously, the International Association of Fire Chiefs. So there were some people from outside of the country there. And all of them are asking this question, how do we deal with this issue? And they brought in people from outside of the firefighting community to help them answer some of those questions. And I was honored to be invited. And, you know, as they're kind of we summarized it, the whole conference today. And as the guy there at the end to kind of put a cap on it, I felt a great deal of appropriate questions being asked. I felt like there were a great deal of appropriate thought and commentary being made, both in my off stage time with this group and in the questions and in the responses I got throughout my presentation this morning. The firefighting community is thinking about this, as they should, as should anyone be thinking about personal defense. So if you think about the firefighting community, you know, how many firefighters are volunteer? How many of them have concealed carry permits? How many of them are told by policy or maybe by just institutional inertia, leave your gun in the car, leave your gun at home. You cannot carry your gun while you're going into this situation to fight the fire. And the community is realizing that may not be the right approach, and I applaud them, and we're all trying to solve that problem.
Do you happen to, and I've never really given this much thought, I know there are some departments where it's okay, most departments, at least from what I've heard anyway, from folks that I've talked to, they're not armed, or maybe it's against their policy to be armed. Do you know any percentage of departments across the country where they are, in fact, allowed to be armed or are not allowed to be armed by any chance?
If you would have asked me last week, I would have said, I don't think there's anyone that's saying it's okay. What I found out this week is there are agencies and departments around the country in various states that I talked to today. I had chiefs of fire departments come up to me today and say, we let our guys carry. And it wasn't wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right,
by policy, officially, they're letting their people be armed in environments. And some of them said, you know, it's the sergeants or it's the supervisors or whoever, or you have to have a concealed carry permit, or you have to do this, you have to jump through this hurdle or meet this qualification. I'm fine with all of that. I applaud them for accepting the reality that one's personal defense shouldn't end when they go to work. And this is the same conversation we've had about school teachers. It's the same conversation we have about nurses and doctors. It's the same conversation we have about people who work in state or national parks or amusement parks or libraries, wherever it is. People's right and responsibility for personal defense should not be curtailed when they go to work.
Regardless of what their occupation is. Rob, we've
Absolutely.
Got to take this break. You are welcome to stick through the break if you can. If not, we'll give out all of the information about where folks can buy the DVDs and find you on the web when we come back. We know a little bit about you and where to turn people on to you. Armed American Radio continues right after this. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Don't go away.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Alien Gear Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holsters on the planet, is offering big savings with our new two-holster combo. Now you can buy two complete holsters for as little as $49.88. Choose from any available holster styles and colors for the guns of your choice. All of Alien Gear's quality products are made right here in the USA and include a 30-day trial, forever warranty, and free shell trades for life. Visit AlienGearHolsters.com today.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6 plus 1 rounds and a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
On the Armed American Radio Network, from Florida to Alaska, new listeners up in Riverton, Wyoming, great to have you here. 50,000 watts of power kicking you freedom in your direction, filling your prescription for freedom. I love that. The doctor has written you a weekly three-hour dose. Could that be changing? Don't laugh, Sean. We'll discuss that in an upcoming show. Rob Pincus, I'm talking with one of the greatest trainers known to mankind, international trainers, and a good friend. Rob, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Love when you come to the show and give us your wisdom. We've been filling the hour really with common sense stuff, man. How to avoid confrontation with law enforcement. Your recommendation overall is don't be that walking constitution right now, today. Get out of the encounter quickly and with your skin and do it politely. Maybe educate a law enforcement officer in the process. Is that right? Fair assessment?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're going to be the and it's not, obviously, we're not anti-constitution, we're not anti-rights. All we're saying is, if that's your passion, go exercise that when it's not a confrontation. Go exercise that tomorrow. I've talked about it for years, you know. Go hand out, go prepare a legal brief and go drop off 20 copies at the police department. Go give them to a patrol sergeant. They'll get disseminated. The conversation will happen. Make the educational efforts prior to the moment of confrontation. Don't walk around looking for the confrontation and then decide you're going to, you know, be the big guy on campus, because it's not going to end well for you.
Yeah, you know, there are ways. It depends on the initial contact with law enforcement. Obviously, we don't have the time to discuss every possible scenario here for you. I will say this, that only you know the situation that you find yourself. Maybe you can have that conversation. I have had the opportunity to have the conversation that goes as follows. You know, I don't have to show you this. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm simply walking down the street. However, I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I have no problem showing you my permit, and wound up having a nice conversation with the officer. That obviously probably occurs, Rob, more than we know.
I've had exactly the same scenario happen, but it has to start from a cooperative, compliant, polite beginning, or it's not going to go well.
Yeah. We've all seen some of these YouTube videos of the guys getting pulled over by the immigration police. Roll your window down. Are you an American citizen? Am I doing something wrong? Do I have to answer that question? You are escalating a situation that, as you said, might not end well for you. You be the judge. Hey, listen, we can only give you the advice. You heard it from Rob Pincus here. And Rob, you got DVDs on. Where can people find the DVDs, brother? Where can they buy them? Where can they read this stuff? It's great information to just soak up.
ICEstore.us is for the books and DVDs, ICETraining.us for classes, and ICETraining.info for the blog. We've got a lot of different topics that show up on there from time to time, and most of them we cover here on the radio. It's a great opportunity. I'm excited to spend the whole hour with you tonight because we haven't recently gotten this much time together to talk about topics, so I appreciate it.
No, it was great to be able to spend the time with you, particularly when it's really short notice, because spontaneity makes great radio. And to be able to have this conversation with you, you and I had planned and intended on talking about some of this, but to be able to take the extra half hour with you, Frank hadn't called in, and I really appreciate you being able to stick around. It was great to be able to get this information in. Training, very, very quickly. There's a difference between training and practice with a firearm, isn't there, Rob?
There is. Training we always define as developing new skills, learning new information, taking on board that new tactic, that new concept, that new principle. And then practice is where you both develop and refresh skills. So we'll tell people that, people will ask me, they'll finish a two-day course, say, what course should I take next? I said, don't take a course next. Like, go practice this stuff. Mm-hmm. Get good at this first. Establish your fundamentals. Then worry about where you're going to go next. And practice is really where you own skills. I don't care how great the course is. I mean, I try to run the best defensive pistol courses I can, the best defensive rifle courses I can, whatever course I'm running, I try to make it the best possible course I can. But I know, and I tell my students, that you're not going to own any of these skills in this day or in this 2 days, or even when we work with the military or law enforcement guys and it's a 5-day class. You're not going to own any of these skills at the end of this 5-day class. You've got to get your replications of the scenarios, repetitions of the skills over time. If you don't get the reps over time, you're not going to own the skills. So there's always a difference between training and practice. Practice is incredibly important. After you understand what you're supposed to do, go practice it and practice it over time. In fact, today, my girlfriend was one of our instructors in Colorado. She went out for one of her first full-day defensive firearms classes, and we talked about it. She took the class. That's great. Now we talk about practice. What's going to happen with practice? If she spent the whole day with one of our CFS instructors establishing the combat-focused shooting, defensive shooting fundamentals, now practice. Over time, over the next several months, year, whatever, she'll learn to own those skills. But in the short term, training is sometimes very confusing for people. They go out, they get their permit, they get the concealed carry permit, they get the sanction from the government, or they go through the class and they get the certificate in the mail, and they think they're done. And training is just really the start. You're trained, now develop those skills.
That's the point you just made was really not, I don't even think you were trying to make the point you just did, so let me elaborate. When you said that people get the training because the state mandates it and they think they're finished, that's a big argument against state-mandated training for concealed carry permits. We've had this discussion, Rob, both on and off air. I was in Arizona a few years ago when Jan Brewer signed the law eliminating training requirements in Arizona. And all the trainers over there at Scottsdale Gun Club were thinking, man, they were panicking. Like, oh, man, we're going to lose all of our business. As our newest contributor, Amber Cunow will tell you, absolutely not. They're so busy right now, they can't add enough classes. There isn't enough time in the day. So there is more than just putting those three rounds through that pie plate. I got to thank you on national radio, because the training I've done with you and all the DVDs I've watched prior to taking the training with you at your home range down there at Ancient City has become my fundamental gun handling with a pistol. It's just become that. It's become a part of me. the way I handle a pistol because of the way you teach. Isn't that what you're trying to get across to people?
Yeah, that's the whole point. And I'm teaching in Arizona in December. Now, there's no reason for me to ever set foot in Arizona again if the only reason people take training is because
they have great
to.
Point. And great the point. Is, point.
They don't. They don't just take training because they have to. People take training because they recognize the need for it. It's really, really important to understand that there's so much more than just the minimum requirements. And we say it about law enforcement, we say it about the military guys, and certainly it extends to the private sector where, quite honestly, the concealed carry permit process, most of us who are fighting the political fight, we fight for the mandatory requirements to be as low as possible. I want the mandatory requirements to be very simple. The same as Vermont and Alaska and Arizona. If you can legally own a gun, then you can legally carry that gun for the purposes of defense. But beyond that comes the responsibility that our community should put on every firearms owner to get the training and to do the practice.
You got 5 seconds. Tell us the websites quickly. We're coming to a close of the hour.
PersonalDefenseNetwork.com. That's the place to go. Go get the information. Go out and practice. PersonalDefenseNetwork.com has the videos and has the articles from me and a lot of our other contributors that will help people get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rob Pincus from ICE Training, Combat Focus Shooting, PersonalDefenseNetwork.com. Go get the information and learn from one of the best in the country. Rob, thanks very much for sticking with me for the hour. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. Remember, I tell you every week, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Political analysis coming up next. Can't wait.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in heat. Jealous me by the clamor now, baby.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about 3 powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com, armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.